Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Greetings, humans. You have entered the command zone, your destination for all aspects of Elder Dragon Highlander. Enjoy your stay.
What's up, everybody? You're watching slash listening slash engaging and, I don't know, what else, gazing upon this podcast called The Command Zone. I'm one of your hosts today, Jimmy Wong, and I'm joined by the one and only, introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Arthur Meadowcroft. I'm an editor here at The Command Zone, and I'm so thrilled to be here with you, Jimmy, talking about deck.
Thanks, man. Yeah. I'm so glad, too. It's really fun to bring in the staff members. We brought in a few already to do their own sort of takes on the pre-cons, because sometimes Josh and I, you know, we're old and crusty now, so we got to get that young blood in here and tell us what's up.
You're sharp as a whip, Jimmy.
Thank you. So today we're going to talk about the Bant deck. It is the Bedecked Broker. It's got Bant colors. It's keywords, counters is sort of what's in this pre-con. We're going to go over the stats. We're going to talk about cards to take out, cards to put in, and just under $30, how you can upgrade this deck and bring it to a table with someone that, you know, might have a bit more of a seasoned deck. They've been building it and actually stand a chance, maybe even win. But before we get into it, we've got to talk about our sponsors. The first one up is channelfireball.com/command. That's right. Just put that into your browser window and navigate yourself over to the Channel Fireball Marketplace, where you're going to find all of the cards that you want to buy, especially sealed product as well as singles, because you might want to pick up one of these pre-cons. Some of them have some spicy reprints in them. Today, we're going to be talking about one that's been catching some traction. So make sure you enter in code command at checkout or go to channelfireball.com/command, get some great prices and support a local game store. Our next sponsor is Ultra Pro. Ultra Pro. Yeah, get Super Ultra, Plus Ultra, go Mega Ultra. I don't know if you watch My Hero Academia, but Plus Ultra has made its way into my vocabulary now.
Nice. I'll check it out.
Okay, cool. If you want to protect your cards, Ultra Pro is the place to go and get stuff. You can go to your LGS and pick up Ultra Pro. You can go online to their store, playmats, deck boxes, sleeves. It's a great way to actually feel like you're really doing the Magic player thing. You know, you get cards for the first time. You don't want to shuffle them up bareback. You want to put the sleeves on, put the playmat out, and then blam, you got the life counter. You are ready to go. Ultra Pro is going to cover you with all that product. And the last way to support the show is directly patreon.com/command zone. We love our patrons. We're playing Magic the Gathering over Spell Table with some of our patrons at select tiers. If you want to find out more, head on over to patreon.com/command zone, and we shout out one lucky patron every single episode. So this episode is dedicated to Lori Lanetta. Lori, you rock. And you got Arthur to say your name too, and that's a treat because you got like that radio DJ voice going, I think. It's kind of
Lori
nice.
Lanetta.
Come on down. Also, one small note, we just had an episode with Post Malone doing Command Zone Live, a live stream. It was a lot of fun. Me and Josh Posty talking about new Capenna cards. The next one is on May 10th. Make sure you follow our Twitter, and we'll have links below for how you can register to get the link to watch it. It was a lot of fun. We engaged with chat. It was great. Okay. Let's dive into it.
Let's do it.
Bedecked Broker Precon Budget Upgrade Guide.
Yeah.
So, Arthur, you actually got to choose this deck when you were looking at the selection, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what brought you towards it initially?
Well, full disclosure, I think it's been said in multiple episodes. We went downstairs and Josh was like, hey guys, let's rock, paper, scissors for these. So I'm pretty amicable. I was like, yeah, you guys pick, I'll take whatever's left. And I guess it kind of worked out pretty well for me because I don't have a Bant deck in my own collection. I'm not too familiar with it. So I got to kind of tread into like waters I haven't really gone into before. And it was a lot of fun to kind of see what Bant can do. And yeah, that was cool.
So even though you played rock, paper, scissors for it, it feels like the deck chose you all along.
Jimmy,
it knew.
I didn't even do rock, paper, scissors for this one.
Oh, yeah, you just sat back and waited. Yeah, that's great. See, that's predetermination. That's fate, oh, yeah, if I've ever seen it.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so let's talk first about the new commanders. As always, there's going to be three creatures in these decks. Well, not always, but they tend to do this. Three creatures, two of them are in foil. And the front-facing commander will start off with Perry, the Pulverizer.
Yeah, let's do it. Perry's sweet. He's a rhino. You want to run down the stats on him?
Yeah, I do. Let's run down these stats on this rhino soldier. All right, so this is one in Bant. It's a 3/3 legendary creature, rhino soldier. When Perry enters the battlefield, put a shield counter on target creature. Shield counters, we're going to talk about them a couple of times throughout this episode. They're basically like little indestructible counters. It goes on a creature and you remove it the next time the creature would be dealt damage or destroyed. So it gives it sort of the shield for one hit or one death on the battlefield. So you put a shield counter when Perry enters the battlefield on a creature, any creature. When Perry attacks, target creature you control gains trample and gets plus X until end of turn, where X is the number of different kinds of counters among permanents you control. So if you have plus one counter, a saga counter, a minus one counter, a
depletion lands?
Depletion lands, storage counters. You got all sorts of random counters. So when Perry attacks, you count all those up, the different kinds, and then that creature you choose gets plus X, and trample.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty good. Trample is very powerful.
One thing I'm really like kind of hype about with this is like usually with Voltron decks, right? Because this gives off like big Voltron vibes.
Oh, yeah. This reminds me of Rafik of the Many, another banned Voltron classic.
Yeah. Like imagine that with giving something Infect and just trample. Like that's, yeah. So, but with Infect decks or with Voltron decks, you're usually needing to like kind of pace out, putting equipment down and then equipping the creature and then swinging. And that's so like, you see, you can't really be like, shh, like don't mind this like a batter skull. It's fine. I'm the only way
you can
next turn.
Yeah, the only way you can really hide it is like with Sigarda's aid. But even then, people know what you're up to.
Right.
You're playing stuff and you're making your creature bigger.
So with counters, right? Like as there's like depletion lands, like all that stuff, like replicating ring, like those counters on that midnight clock, like they'll see those counters, but they might not see how it feeds into you just alpha striking someone out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Just because it's much easier than looking at equipment and being like, I know that equipment's scary.
Yeah, and here's the thing, you can put counters on enchantments and all sorts of other permanents. So if someone Vandal Blasts gets rid of all your equipment, you're actually not dead in the water.
Oh yeah.
A lot of those Voltron decks require you to equip and to like go at it. So this is actually really interesting. I like that. It's a good point.
Yeah. So I think there's a lot of like fun wiggle room to play around with that with that commander and do some cool stuff with it.
Yeah. Obviously the cards that go well with any time you're giving counters on stuff are your Hardened Scales, cares about plus one counters. Doubling Season, if you want to go for that 5 mana, big bad, it'll make everything doubled up. Primal Vigor, a bit more of a budget option for people. And I think the Ozolith is a card that we will keep mentioning from now until the end of time.
Right, yeah.
So plus one counters aren't going anywhere, and now we see a lot of different counters aren't going anywhere. Ozolith enjoys all of that.
All right. Yeah, so that's Perry. You're Perry 101 there. Let's,
Perry 101. Thanks, Perry. He pulverized. He came, he saw, he pulverized.
Nice. The next up, we have Kross, Defense Contractor. So Kross here is 1 and a Bant.
Same
so,
as Perry.
4 mana, yeah, same cost. 2/4 Cat Advisor. So we got a whole animal tribe here going with this deck. Kross reads, at the beginning of your upkeep, put a shield counter on target creature and opponent controls. Once again with the shield counters, but this time you have to give it to an opponent.
Ooh.
Yeah, kind of wheeling and dealing with this guy.
I see. He is a defense contractor, so giving defense contracts out quite literally.
Yeah. And when you put one or more counters on a creature you don't control, tap that creature and goad it. It gains trample until your next turn.
Okay, interesting. So goading it means that it must attack this turn if able, and it cannot attack you. If you're the only opponent, it does attack you, but it has to attack. That's interesting, though. It actually taps down the creature when you put one or more counters on the creature, and then it gets goaded. So presumably it'll untap on their turn, and it's going to gain trample and swing at someone.
Yeah, so a little bit of group huggy vibes for sure. People will be a little confused. They'll be like, hey, why are you goading my stuff? Like, what's up with this? But yeah, I mean, it could be pretty fun. You can definitely do some pretty unique deals. You can give people things and like maybe ask that they attack a certain player, or you can just, as Jimmy said, taps down the creature. And so that in itself can be its own way to like get through yourself if you need to get an attack in.
Yeah, that's interesting. So until, so you could even do it like they go to combat and you don't want it to attack anyone. You actually just go, you somehow instant speed put a counter on it. It'll tap it and goad it, but it can't attack because it's tapped. So there are ways to use this. One as do it when it's not your turn and you'll untap and you have to attack, or just say, hey, I don't want you to attack at all. So there's kind of two sides to it.
Yeah, so I think both commanders here, Perry and Kross, offer some interesting plays. And I think that you can't, like, they're both very different decks. Before we get into, like, which one will be the commander, there's still one more.
That's right. Creature. Now, this creature cannot be the commander of the deck because it is only two colors, a white and a blue. Yes. But it is a legendary creature. This is Denry Klynn, editor-in-chief. Ah, you're kind of an editor, not an editor-in-chief. No newspapers here.
No, sir.
Two, a white and a blue for a 2/2 cat advisor. Denry Klynn enters the battlefield with your choice of a +1/+1, first strike, or vigilance counter on it. Whenever a non-token creature you control enters the battlefield, if Denry has counters on it, put the same number and kind of counters on that creature.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so Denry sits there, and it comes in with a +1/+1 first strike or vigilance counter, and from that point on, anytime a non-token creature comes in, Denry doesn't move the counters over. He gives any counters that he has, the same number and kind of counters that he has on someone else. So if you manage to stack other things on him, then Denry's going to give those things to that creature every time.
That seems like it could get so crazy. Isn't there's a Simic card out there that does that?
That adds counters?
It says whenever a creature comes into play, each other creature comes into play with the same power as this creature. Oh, so it feels like it could get kind of crazy like that, where you just stack all sorts of stuff on.
Yeah, very similar. Where you're just making the every time you print a new creature out. And let's say Denry has a +1/+1 vigilance counter, trample counter, menace counter, right? You just find other ways to put counters on them. Shield counter. Oh, every creature comes out with that.
Yeah.
That's pretty nuts.
Oh, man.
In that case, you just need to load up Denry and then just start spewing out other things. Very interesting. But that is the Azorius commander. It's very toolboxy, though. I feel like it's kind of cool. You can just, like, make some combos, right?
Yeah, it's not the same colors as Cathril, but I've seen Cathril do some nuts stuff with counters. Like, I could imagine this thing can get into some similar combo situations where you're just putting all sorts of counters and removing them and adding them on. And with Falco Spar,
you don't even need to remove them from Denry. He just keeps them.
Yeah.
You're trying to move them to Denry, it seems. Yeah. And then Denry is just powering everything up. It's kind of cool. The power of editing, I suppose.
I'm excited to see this card out in the wild for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that actually kind of makes me want to build an Azorius deck for the first time in my life.
Ooh.
That isn't just pure stacks control, you know.
It seems fun for other people.
But
too,
I do feel like without green in there, you're kind of missing a bit of power. Mm. Okay, so let's go over the stats. That's nice. We should have everyone in the office do their own variation on stats. It's like stats. Bedazzling. All right, so let's go down the list here. As always, Wizards has done a great job compared to sort of their original pre-cons, because now they're building more to a template. And so the stats here are looking pretty good. So what do we got for ramp?
For ramp, we got 12 ramp. So I mean, most of this comes in the form of some pretty cool creatures, like, of course, Devoted Druid, where you can, like...
Wall of Roots as well.
Wall of Roots, yeah. You work with the decks sort of way it, like, kind of puts counters on stuff to sort of work as your mana dorks, like Incubation Druid. When it gets a counter on it, you can tap it for 3 instead of 1.
Oh, that's right. I love that card.
Yeah, I like how the deck is... kind of falling in on itself a bit. It's like it's using its own strategy to fuel its ramp, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and the card draw also very good. 12 sources of card draw. Now, of course, we're not talking like the best card draw spells in the game, but it's like Urban Evolution. That is a very powerful card. And so 12 spots of that with 12 pieces of ramp. This deck is ready to go out the gate. You could just play this and probably do pretty well.
Yeah, for sure. Next up, we have single target removal. It's got 10 single target removal. I saw a Generous Gift in there. That's a really good card.
Yep,
it'll get rid of any problem you need to get rid of. Like,
And give you an elephant.
Yeah.
Or give them an elephant.
Very generous gift of an elephant.
Yeah, very, very generous. Yeah, I like that a lot. Board wipes, we have 3 of them in here. So that's, I'd say, about right, too. It's between 3 and 5, typically.
That's a good sweet spot.
I would expect that maybe they wanted to load up more, because if Perry's giving shield counters, that actually gets you around the board wipe.
I could
see, you know, I don't want to make games too long, so I typically don't run as many board wipes, much higher on the single target removal. So these stats are great. 12 ramp, 12 card draw, single target removal, 10 wipes. And then, of course, what the deck is actually about is counters. So how many counters matters cards are in this thing?
Yeah, all about counters. There's 54 counters. When Trek usually puts this together, he usually has a few bullet points of what the deck is trying to do. In this case, it was just counters.
Just putting counters on, So there's shield counters, 7 sources of things that do that. Uh-huh. 22 cards that care about +1/+1 counters.
Mm-hmm.
7 then with keywords, so you mean like Vigilance, Trample, and all that?
Yeah. With Ikoria, they started doing like these keyword counters. And then last up, just because of Kroos, I felt like it was diligent of us to include how many counters also put put counters on any creature, not just your own. So there's 10 cards in the deck that put counters on other people's creatures. Mm. However, some of them are a little clinky, like you can you can give Oblivion Stone fate counter to an opponent's creature if you really wanted to.
Oh, I see. Right. So it's a little, you're not necessarily doing it on purpose.
Oh, yeah. But like there are 10 ways in the deck as it is that work with Kroos if you decide to go that route.
Okay, cool. Yeah. All right. Well, of course, we always take the deck value of these cards total. So what we did is add up all the value of the reprints and not the new cards because we do this before the deck's revealed. We don't even know what those cards are going to be worth on the market. And it looks like the reprint value here is not bad, $84.38.
All right. Yeah.
So we've been doing the average for these things for quite a while now. And the average reprint value of the precons is around 80. So that's pretty darn good. And again, this doesn't even count the new cards. Of course, you're not going to go out and sell each of these cards individually and mail them all out and get your $80. But in terms of like generally, it's a good idea of seeing how powerful is the general level of the cards. Are there any standouts? And so we're going to go into the notable reprints. So these are all cards that are worth more than $2.
All right.
There were 3 cards that were worth $5 or more and 12 cards that were worth $2 or more. So let's talk about sort of the big three.
Yeah, let's do it. First up, we got Steelbane Hydra. Steelbane Hydra is X and 2 green for a
0/0 turtle Hydra.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And one of it, it's like eating a spear, too. and you can play 2 and a green to remove a +1/+1 counter to destroy target artifact or enchantment. And it comes in the battlefield, you pay X for +1/+1 counters. So that's kind of cool. It's an enchantment removal, but this obviously is a powerful card. You know, it's a creature. It's a Hydra. Hydra decks love giving +1/+1 counters, and this functions as removal.
It's great to see Flooded Grove gain a reprint, too, at $7.16. This is a great filter land, so it'll help you get 2 out of your 3 colors you need. Yeah.
You can tap for green, green, blue, or blue.
Oh, yeah. Simic filter land. And then next up, we got Slippery Bog Bonder. So it's a 3 and a green for a human druid.
This card's great.
Yeah, flash hexproof, and it'll put a hexproof counter on a creature. So that's really cool. It's just, once again, there's a lot of proliferate things. You can like move the counter around maybe or do some really cool stuff with it.
Yeah, and then you can also move the counters when it enters the battlefield onto whatever the Slippery Bogbinder chooses, right? You can move any number of counters onto it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So you can just move. Yeah. Really
cool. So you could sort of drop one counter and then drop a bunch of other things on there, and it's very slippery. Very cool. And then past that, we have a bunch more cards. We got Nesting Grounds, which is a nice land that does a very, again, very rare thing, which is pay a mana, tap, move a counter from target permanent you control onto another target permanent. So that's actually any player, and you activate that only as a sorcery. Nice. And then we got Gavinny Township, Jannara, Sewer of War, Oblivion Stone. Used to be a very popular board wipe in the format. Haven't seen it as much. Luminarch Aspirant is like a must in so many of the human tribal decks, even going all the way back into like Modern and Legacy. And Felwar Stone, obviously, Generous Gift, Rolesque Apex Hybrid. And the big one is Devoted Druid.
Ooh.
1 in the green for an elf druid. Tap it to add green. It's a 0/2. And you can put a -1/-1 counter on Devoted Druid to untap Devoted Druid. Of course, a lot of cards, you know, can get around this by saying either, oh, that -1/-1 counter, it gets negated by this +1/+1 counter I put on it. So you can keep untapping Devoted Druid, keep adding mana. So there are some infinite combos that are brewing now thanks to New Capenna.
Yeah, Devoted Druid combos in its sleep. It's insane.
Yeah. So this card actually, it spiked the moment before the precon released and people knew it was in the precon because, again, New Capenna has a lot of cards that are comboing with it. So that actually might, you know, if we took the price now, might affect it a little bit.
Yeah, so I think it's a pretty solid list of reprints. Definitely some staples. Devoted Druid is just a great card to have in your collection. So.
Yeah, same with Luminarch Aspirant for Felwar Stone, obviously. Generous Gift, you can play that in any deck. Slippery Bogbinder is another card that I think scales really well with the design of the format. Yeah. And over time, there'll just more and more use cases for it.
Yeah, it's always good to protect your commander if you want to put the hexproof counter there.
Yeah, okay. Let's talk about the big question here, which is who should you run as your commander? Mm-hmm. Because Perry's on the front, and it looks like it's kind of all about Perry, but...
Yeah.
You actually have a slightly different idea, Arthur. Yeah. I'd love to hear about it.
I tried to keep it secret till now, but I'm really digging Kroos, Defense Contractor. I think
as the lead singer, the commander, you take out and put Perry in the deck.
Oh, yeah. I think Kroos is sweet. I think it's really cool to make some deals. I kind of like the idea of just making this really big mess for everybody and then just like sitting back and like seeing how people deal with it. I know that makes me bad, but
that's kind of fun. I like that. Oh, yeah. there's like the Beamtown Bullies is a card that we've talked about a bunch. It's kind of the similar thing where it's like, let them handle it. Yeah. See what happens when they go play out there.
Yeah, it's really funny. Yeah, like you're just giving them, like things are just going to get more and more crazy, more and more difficult.
Yeah, and you're making their creatures better and better too. Maybe you even give it like a hexproof counter or something crazy.
Oh, that would be so funny. Oh my gosh. So yeah, it kind of reminds me of like an open world video game versus like a linear RPG or something.
Okay. Yeah, because I will say parry,
yeah,
it's kind of very straightforward. Parry's very, very straightforwardy. You just want to get a creature huge and attack and swing and put a bunch of counters on and kill them with trample.
Yeah.
But Kroos, you're right. It is a bit more of an adventure, isn't it?
Yeah. Every game's going to be a little bit different because it all depends on what everyone else is. Like, it depends what you're giving them and what they bring to the table. And they're going to be killing each other. And so I think that's pretty fun and it's dynamic and it's going to allow you to have a lot of very fun and unique games.
Yeah, it's definitely pretty dynamic. That is pretty interesting. And I guess it's something that we'll talk about more about when we talk about the cards that we're going to take out and put in. But before we do that, let's talk about the best cards in the deck.
Okay.
And this is obvious, pretty obvious, but Parry the Pulverizer is just one of the best cards in the deck if Kroos is your commander, right?
Yeah, I think that's the case because you do need a way when things get tricky. The tricky thing about Goad is that if it gets down to a 1v1, you're in a very difficult situation.
You're only swinging at yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they're swinging at you.
Yeah,
because no one else.
They're goaded to attack, and if they have to attack, but there's no one else to attack, they have to attack you.
Yeah.
So I feel like Parry is going to help you close out games when they get tough. They're going to help you get your one creature big because although you're putting counters on other people's stuff, you're still going to be putting counters on your own things.
Yeah, you don't have to necessarily play Parry and give someone else a shield counter. You could still put it on Parry or even on Kroos.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to go, oh, you know what? Because I have Kroos out, I need to goad this thing. But you have the choice with cards like Parry.
Yeah. And then once again, like the next card up is Rishkar Pima Renegade. This card put...
Yes, card drops +1/+1 counters on each of up to 2 target creatures when it enters the battlefield. And then each creature with a counter on it, by the way, not just +1/+1 counter on it, can tap and add for a green.
Yeah, so when it comes into play, it puts +1 counters on a target creature, not target creature you control.
Yeah, two target creatures too.
Yeah, so you can choose to, it's like Parry, it's kind of flexible. Like you're putting counters on your own stuff sometimes. And in this case, there's a payoff and it's ramp. And I think that's really good. And that's why I include Rishkar as the top card in the deck.
Yeah, I think Rishkar is definitely a very good card in this deck. There's also Together Forever, white for an enchantment. This comes from Battle for Zendikar, I think, back in the day with bolstering. Yeah.
Nice.
When Together Forever enters the battlefield, support 2. So you put a +1/+1 counter on each of up to 2 target creatures, the identical text to Rishkar.
Mm-hmm.
And also you can pay 1 to choose target creature with a counter on it. When that creature dies this turn, return that card to its owner's hand. So wow, that's great. One, you can just put 2 +1/+1 counters on 2 creatures that you control or put them on someone else with Kroos out and go them.
Yeah.
+1/+1 counter isn't as offensive, I think, and dangerous as like even a shield counter.
Yeah.
But then when you have your own creatures die, this sits out on your board for the rest of the game. You can pay 1 and it's going to bounce it to your hand. So your Denry that everyone's going to want to kill because it's got 50 counters on it, you can bounce it back to your hand when it dies.
Yeah, super resilient. It'll allow you to have just a lot of resiliency throughout the game, and it also allows you to make deals with your opponents because you're putting counters on them, and you can say, okay, let's go down this line where you're attacking this person, and I know your creature's going to die because it's not big enough to block even though it's goaded.
Right.
So I can help you get it back in your hand if you don't attack me next turn, because I don't have a way to goad you next turn.
Yeah, you can actually save other people's stuff. Wow, you're definitely becoming a real defense contractor. This last card, too, I think is hilarious, because I didn't realize what you can do with it.
Yeah, so Forgotten Ancient. Whenever a player casts a spell, you can put a +1/+1 counter on Forgotten Ancient. It's a 4-mana elemental. It's a 0/3 at a baseline, but this will get real big.
It gets real big, yeah. It's similar to, like, Mana Gorger Hydra. You're astounded how many +1/+1 counters drop on this thing.
But as Jimmy was saying, the cool thing about this is at the beginning of your upkeep, you may move any number of +1 counters from Forgotten Ancient onto other creatures. Yeah,
I don't think I've seen text like other creatures, because it's usually it's any number of other target creatures, but it just says other creatures. It doesn't even target.
Yeah, so you can just go nuts with Kroos in this card. Like, just go the whole board, disrupt decorum every turn.
Disrupt decorum,
yeah, that's hilarious. And you're still going to be left with probably like a 5/8 Forgotten Ancient. Like,
you, so let's say there's 6 creatures on the board. My opponents all have 2, and you put 6 +1/+1 counters on every single one.
Uh-huh.
It's actually crazy because you're tapping down all those creatures.
Oh yeah.
So you pass the turn. The first person to untap has to attack their opponents. They have a free attack pretty much because everyone's tapped down.
Yeah.
And then the next player has to so really being the person that is to your right when this happens,
oh no,
they get the brunt of it because they stay tapped down the longest.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a cool card. I like that card.
Yeah, very. I've loved Forgotten Agent for a long, long time. It's a great, great card. Mm-hmm. All right, we are going to get into the cards to add in and take out of the deck and some strategy behind it. But we first got to hear a message from our mid-roll sponsors.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We are talking about the, what's it called again? Bedecked Brokers with Perry the Pulverizer, the Bant Commander deck from, I keep saying Bant, but it's not, but it's from New Capenna. It's the Brokers. So before we get into the cards to add in and take out, you did a little bit of a thought experiment, right, Arthur, in asking yourself, what are some questions that I need to be asking, or even you out there thinking about building this deck, what are some important things to ask myself as I get into this so that I know what I'm doing and I am sort of going down the right path?
Oh, yeah. So Kroos is going to be a little tricky because you're goading people and that puts you in a really difficult situation. Gavin Verhey just put out a video recently on goad being an evergreen mechanic and kind of walked through some of the pitfalls of it. And the biggest one I'd say is when it gets down to a 1v1.
Right.
What do you do? Are you doomed? What do you think? Are you doomed?
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. I think you have to prepare for that moment and then you have to have like a card like Perry, like you said, that can push through and or you can sort of kill that person, or you're using Kroos to tap them down so that they stay tapped down and you continue to sort of like stop them, and maybe you're sneaking in that damage somehow.
Yeah, so I guess some advice I'd have, like if you are in a situation where you're like, I'm giving all you guys nice stuff and I feel like a little prone here, what happens if my commander gets removed? One card is just, one idea is win the game cards can be your backup strategy, especially when it gets down to 1v1. So like Approach of the Second Sun, Simic Ascendancy.
Oh, okay. Strixhaven Stadium.
Yeah, Strixhaven Stadium.
Yeah, so all these cards have text on it that say you win the game if you satisfy certain things that happen.
Yeah, another thing that's really important with this type of deck, and especially because you're in blue, is just leaving mana open, having a backup plan.
Yeah.
When you pass turn, you should always have like something like Slippery Bog Bonder up your sleeve.
Very slippery.
Oh yeah. So you might give the illusion like, oh no, like you guys have all this stuff.
It's all over.
I'm passing turn, and it's just going to be this crazy mess, and there's no answer through this mess. But you should have an answer through that mess, and maybe give the illusion, but be prepared to deal with the mess you created when no one else does.
Okay, yeah, I like that. You definitely have to be a little reactive and proactive in this deck.
Yeah.
And you're doing a lot of wheeling and dealing too as a defense contractor.
So yeah, I guess that's kind of overall advice I'd give for piloting this kind of a crazy deck where every game might be a little different like that.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear the stories about it. All right, let's talk about the cards that we would add.
Yeah.
Again, the total budget was around $30 for this. So let's start things off with an enchantment that you wanted to add called Evolutionary Escalation.
This card is so funny to me. So
the art, by the way, is just, it's pretty awesome.
Prime time, yeah.
Yeah.
So two mana, you're going to be getting this out really early.
One in a green.
One in a green. At the beginning of your upkeep, you put +1 counters on a creature you control in the counter, and you're the one putting them on a creature an opponent controls as
so
well.
It's an escalation. You choose two creatures, one of your own and one of an opponent's, to get +1/+1 counters.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So you're going to be making some real big boys out there.
Yeah, for sure.
And yeah, I think it's great because you're playing the counter on, so of course it works great with Kroos. I think a theme you'll see is every card I'm adding has to work really well with Kroos.
Right. Otherwise, the deck is going to fall apart.
Oh yeah. Yeah. There's a little bit of infrastructure in the deck, but it definitely needs the 10 cards. So yeah, this card's really funny. It's just you're making some really scary creatures out there, and sure, you're also going to be making some of your strong too.
You're just ready to hit it with a generous gift at the end is what you're selling. You're building that thing up and then you're going to remove it eventually.
Oh, I'd hate to do that, but I might have to, yeah.
All right, the next card you have is one I've never seen before in my life and is something that I'm now very curious about.
Yeah,
Sheltering Ancient. Yeah. One in the green for a 5/5 tree folk from not Ice Age, but Cold Snap. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's a trample tree folk. It's a 5/5 for two mana. Yeah. So like, wait a minute, what's going on here? Cumulative upkeep, put a +1/+1 counter on a creature and opponent's controls. So at the beginning of your upkeep for cumulative upkeeps, so you put an age counter on the permanent and then you sack it unless you pay its upkeep cost for each age counter on it. So at first, when you pass the turn and it comes back to you, you put a 1/1 counter on one creature and opponent controls. The next turn, you're putting two on the creature and then three on the creature. So it gets to evolutionary escalation, but it doesn't start off as crazy.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah, it's really fun. Similar to evolutionary escalation, just doing some crazy stuff out there with your opponent's creatures. Next up, I think this one might be... Sheltering Ancient's 40 cents.
Yeah, I understand why. It's doesn't see much play.
Yeah, and
otherwise.
Evolutionary Escalation is also 40 cents.
You're not seeing
these cards often. You can pick them up for a really good price.
Yeah, you actually did a great job with the budget on this. You actually have a lot of room open at the end, so maybe you could put in some
yeah, we'll get
too.
There. Okay. Next up is Nil's Discipline Enforcer for 30 cents. This is just another just amazing card for the deck. It does everything your deck wants to do on one card. It's great.
This is great.
Yeah, so it's two and a white, and it's a 2/2 human cleric, and at the beginning of your end step, is that what it says?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, at the beginning of your end step, you put a +1 counter on each creature, on up to one creature each player controls.
Yeah, so for each player, you put a +1/+1 counter on up to one creature. So three players, you get 3/1 counters on up to one. You don't even need to do it. You could do up to, which is a great text there.
Also your own creature. So it's going to be... Yeah,
for each player, Yeah.
And each creature with a counter...
One or more counters.
With one or more counters on it can't attack you or planeswalkers you control unless they pay X, where X is the number of counters on that creature.
Wow. Yeah. So Nils on top of Evolutionary Escalation means that you're going to put 4+1/+1 counters on a creature, and then it can't attack you unless it pays 4 mana for that creature.
So they're goated. They can't attack you unless they pay lots of mana. You should feel pretty safe, and you should be enjoying watching your opponent get attacked by a 10/10 trample goated creature.
I'm not wrong in that Nils is probably the best card in the deck all of a sudden, right?
I think so, yeah.
Nils. Wow.
But, I mean, piggybacking off that, we're going to go into the next card, which is another contender. I think these two might be the contenders for what might be the best cards in the deck. It's Generous Patron. Generous Patron's $3.
Yeah, two and a green for an elf advisor. It's a 1/4. When it enters the battlefield, you support two. So you put a +1/+1 counter on each above to two other target creatures. And whenever you put one or more counters on a creature you don't control, draw a card.
Oh
wow.
God, this is going to be an insane card draw engine. Like,
this
with Nils Discipline Enforcer, you're drawing four cards on your end step, just like that. That's crazy. So
yeah. That's awesome. And you're doing, and they're getting goaded, and they can't attack you.
Three cards, not four, because it's when you put a counter on a creature you don't control.
Right. But that's still, wow, very powerful. And definitely not a popular strategy in EDH, and all these cards are very cheap as a result.
Yeah.
Reigns of Power, I like this indeed. Two blue for an instant. Untap all creatures you control and all creatures target opponent controls. You and that opponent each gain control of all creatures the other controls until end of turn. Those creatures gain haste until end of turn.
Yeah.
So like you were saying, when you get to that 1v1, you have Nils, maybe they can't attack you, but Reigns of Power is really an interesting way to turn the tables.
This is for sure going to be your win con. You're going to save this in your hand until it's a 1v1, and you're going to win the game with this card. There's a similar card in red called Twist Allegiance, and I've won games with Reigns of Power and or Twist Allegiance, depending on the color, so many times. It's one of my favorite ways to win.
And you don't even need to be in this deck to play this kind of card, but in this deck, it's great because you've just been suiting up their stuff with the coolest stuff ever.
Exactly, yeah.
That's amazing.
Talk about turning the tables. It's crazy, yeah.
And not just that, but you're actually untapping those creatures too. So if they were tapped down because they were swinging or whatever, you gain them and you untap them. So because Kroos does, when he puts a counter on a creature, it taps it down.
Yeah, even on the turn you're game ready to swing out with them, you could get one last little sneak in an evolutionary escalation, give it three more counters.
So. Nice. That's hilarious.
Yeah, so next up we got Spike Weaver for two green and two colorless. And Spike Weaver, it's classic. It's great. It's once again working on so many different axes. It's coming in with counters. You can remove counters to move counters onto creatures your opponents control, goading them, move them onto your own creatures, making them bigger, do all sorts of stuff. But then the real game winner here is that Well, not game staller,
game
I guess.
Staller. No, getting you to your game win.
Yeah, getting you to your game win is you can remove a counter from it and fog.
Creatures deal no combat damage this turn.
So what happens if your commander gets removed and you're in a bad situation? Fog.
Fog.
That's great. Just buy yourself a turn.
Buy yourself up to three turns. Buy Spike Weaver doesn't get any counters. And it only costs one after you get cast. So that's pretty cool. It's got these sort of like, it's got Gave moments in the first ability and then the Fog Frog in the second. All right, next up we got Jiang Yanggu, Wildcrafter. I love this card. Mm-hmm. Two and a green for a Yanggu, Legendary Planeswalker, three loyalty. Each creature you control with a +1/+1 counter on it has tap it to add one mana to any color. Mm-hmm. And you can -1 Jiang Yanggu to put a +1/+1 counter on target creature. So you can do this over two turns. It makes your creatures bigger. Typically people don't even attack Jiang Yanggu, but you can do this, but also make them into mana dorks now.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's kind of similar to Rishkar Pima, where you're turning all your creatures into mana dorks. Mm-hmm. They probably already have counters on them. Also, it's really cool because it puts the counters on any creature. So it's working on that similar axis of continuing the goad train, keeping it around.
I like this next card too. This next card may again also might be in competition for one of the best cards of the deck.
Mm-hmm. So this is a $1.50 card for just a board wipe because I'm actually going to be taking out a few. Promise of Loyalty, four and a white. Each player puts a vow counter on a creature they control and sacrifices the rest. Each of those creatures can't attack you or planeswalkers you control as long as it has a vow counter on it.
Wow. So they only get one creature and that vow counter, one, it's going to goad them. So they're going to have to attack, but they can never attack you because Promise of Loyalty says, it just adds that text to those cards. Yeah. Those creatures can't attack you or planeswalkers you control, like Jiang Yanggu, for as long as it has a vow counter on it. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and a cool thing you could do maybe is move the vow counter with your nesting grounds on your creature onto a creature an opponent controls.
Oh, yeah, because you're going to put a vow counter on your creature too.
Yeah. So there's a few fun things going on with that.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. All right, next up, you got Cauldron of Souls, another classic card. Mm-hmm. It's a 5-mana artifact. You can tap it to choose any number of target creatures. Each of those creatures gains persist until end of turn. Mm. Arthur, this is a brilliant addition. Persist means when that creature dies, if it didn't have any -1/-1 counters on it, it returns to the battlefield under its owner's control with a -1/-1 counter on it. Wow, you can tap this and choose your opponent's creatures.
Yeah, right. There's one small caveat I do want to make.
It doesn't trigger crows.
Yeah, so if someone board wipes you tap it and bring, you can pick and choose what you want to come back.
Right.
Sure, you could do that, but because crows is entering at the same time, it's not going to be putting the counter on the creatures the way you want, so it's not going to be goading everything when they come back. They'll just coming back with the counter. But the next turn, you could attack with a Thrumming Bird or something like that and proliferate those counters.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, proliferate is definitely pretty good here.
But you couldn't use it in response to single target removal to have the card come back. Let's say your opponent is really scared of a threat you made for another opponent.
Like crows.
or use it to save your own crows and bring back per crow. So there's all sorts of, you can use it on your opponent's things, on your things.
Very cool, very cool.
So next up we have Verity Circle. Verity Circle is coming at 20 cents, another really good card for a really good price. And it's honestly because you're not really seeing it work much in other games, but in this one's great because Crows taps down creatures when it goads them, when you put the counter on. So when you're going around...
Verity Circle, by the way, says, whenever a creature in opponent controls becomes tapped, if it isn't being declared as an attacker, you may draw a card.
Yeah.
And Crows again says, when you put a counter on a creature you don't control, tap that creature and goad it.
Yeah. So it's a really, really good card draw engine. You'll probably draw 10 or more cards from this over the course of a game.
Yeah,
really
good. Very good with crows.
Yeah, no one's going to want to remove this. It's just like, it's good, but it's not good enough to draw the same hate that something like a Rhystic Study would.
Yeah. So it's, very nice.
Yeah, it's going to be good after your deck. So yeah, for a total price, we're coming in at $14.80.
$15 for all of $15. The upgrades for this deck. And again, it's because you got some niche strategies. It's doing some stuff that you haven't seen really with a commander card before. So that's very cool.
Yeah, I was really happy to be this far under budget. It allows you to then continue to potentially work on the deck, add in some more fun cards because...
Yeah, you could find room now for that, I don't know, your Cyclonic Rift or whatever, and still fit under the $30 budget. But there's tons of things you could do now.
Yeah,
we already talked about a couple of them, right? Like Simic Ascendancy or Approach of the Second Sun. Mm-hmm. Those might be potential adds too.
But instead of doing honorable mentions, because there are a lot, and I just wanted to focus more on honorable precautions.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, so there's a couple things I noted. Graft, for example, Graft isn't great. It's good, but it's not doing exactly what you want because Graft reads that when a creature comes into play, you put a +1 counter on the creature.
You can move it from a creature with Graft on it, yeah.
Yeah, so if it's coming into play that turn, one, it probably doesn't already have haste. So tapping, giving it the counter, tapping it down, goading it won't really do much for you.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's whenever any other creature enters the battlefield, you can move a +1/+1 counter from this creature onto whichever
one. Yeah, so it's good because it does put the counter on it. Maybe later on you can proliferate, you can goad it later. But yeah, in the moment, it's not operating on that axis you need, which is giving it the counter, having it attack when you want.
Right.
They'll
it's
be attacking
just
when they
doing
want
it. Okay, interesting. Yeah, yeah. So you're goading it, you're tapping it down, but it is not attacking because it does not get haste.
The second precaution is to stay focused. So I came across a lot of really cool synergy with giving people counters targeting the cards with things, and it has these payoffs like Dismiss into Dreams.
Yep. So this is a creature, an enchantment that says each creature your opponents control is an illusion in addition to its other types. So when it becomes the target of a spell or an ability, you sacrifice it. So that ability might be giving it a counter.
Yeah. So you'd give it a counter, they'd have to sacrifice it. Great. Now what? Your game plan is to goad them and have them attack. If they lose that creature, I mean, sure, you have some decent removal, but your whole deck's win con is to kind of chip away, get your opponents low, kind of stay under radar. If you're playing stuff like this, you're going to draw a lot of heat. They're going to come after you. They're definitely going to try to remove this. It just won't help you create this Brawliseum of goaded creatures as much as just making the board empty all the time.
I see. Yeah, maybe you'd want to do this at the very end when you're trying to get rid of their stuff, but as the game goes on, this is kind of not going against going against your game plan.
So a few cards to watch out for similar to this are Willbreaker, Cytoplasm Manipulator, Cowardice.
Right. So these cards care about these things getting targeted and what happens. Cytoplasm is a graft card. Willbreaker, interesting. Oh, I see. So you could like take control of them. I think Willbreaker might be good in this deck, depending. Yeah. But then you're kind of going against the spirit of what you built here.
A little bit. So
you're just stealing stuff.
Those are my precautions. I am pointing out the cards if it is something you want to consider, but I also just want to make you aware that it might not be in your deck's best interest.
I see. So okay.
They're all there for you. Yeah.
Cool. Well, we got the cards to add in. Let's talk about the cards in the deck that we thought, let's take them out.
Yeah.
First of all, we got Oracle's Vault.
Oh, yeah.
This is a bit of a clunker. It's a 4-mana artifact. You can do two things. You can pay 2 and exile the top card of your library and tap it. Until end of turn, you can play that card, and then you put a brick counter on Oracle's Vault. And there's also just tap it and exile the top card of your library. Until end of turn, you can play that card without paying its mana cost. But you can only do that if there are 3 or more brick counters on Oracle's Vault. So 6 mana to get going for the first time, and then another 2. So 6, 8, 10 mana over 3 turns. And then you can start exiling the top card of your library to play without paying its mana cost. I think unless you're like heavily proliferating rating and really getting these counters up to 3 in an Atraxa deck, this does seem a little bit of a clunker.
Yeah, just a little too clunky for me. Next up, we got Wingspan Mentor. So it's 2 and a blue for Human Wizard, 1/3. When it enters the battlefield, you put a flying counter on target non-human creature you control. I mean, that's nice. Like, this counter strategy, you're giving your creatures flying. Maybe you can move the counters around. Well, there's a lot of humans in the deck for one. Not a bunch, but enough that, like, I was wary to add this in.
It's only creatures you control as well.
Yeah, also, it has this activate ability of put a +1 counter on each creature you control with flying. There's not a bunch of creatures in deck with flying, so maybe you're pumping one of your own creatures.
Oh, it's just not worth it.
Yeah, it's just not doing what our deck needs to do now that Kross is the commander. Maybe if Perry was the commander, it gives you a few counters, you can do some fun stuff, but it's just not giving you enough, like the juice just isn't worth the squeeze in this case for what your new deck is doing with Kross at the lead.
All right, these next two are pretty interesting. They're two of the board wipes in the deck. Yeah. It's Damning Verdict and Planar Outburst.
Yeah.
Damning Verdict destroys all creatures with no counters on them. You would think, oh, do it, but you're kind of putting counters on people's stuff, and that's interesting. And then Planar Outburst is destroy all non-land creatures for 5 mana, but you could also awaken it for 8 mana to like make a land, become indestructible, and kill everything else. Well, not indestructible. It's destroying all
non-land creatures. It's just a 5-mana board wipe, and we put in Promise of Loyalty, which is also a 5-mana board wipe.
Right.
So let's just say you're swapping that. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, next up we have Ajani Unyielding. This is the 6-mana 4 green and white Ajani for 4 loyalty. You can plus him up to reveal top 3 cards of your library, and you put non-land permanents into your hand. You can -2 to exile a target creature, and its controller gains life equal to its power. And then the -9, you're putting a bunch of counters on creatures and loyalties. It's not going to happen. This is a 6-mana planeswalker.
Yeah, I just think it's too much. It's too much too late. Like, you guys have been talking a lot about lowering your curve, bringing it down, playing 2 cards on turn 6 as opposed to 1 card for 6 mana. Like,
well, if you're playing a 6-mana card to try and draw some cards, not so great. If you're doing a 6-mana card to exile a target creature, I would say just add in Swords to Plowshares instead with your extra money from upgrade, right? So you can get that effect in a much more effective and will make a difference way.
Yeah. Next up, we got Shield Broker. So this is a new card. 2 blue, 3 gray. 3 colorless.
3 gray.
People gave me a bad time today at lunch for saying gray.
3 gray and 2 blue later.
Yeah, I'll play my mana ball, make 2 gray. I did
nice.
That, yeah.
All right, yeah. Some people call it brown. Gray might be a little more appealing. I don't know.
So when it enters the battlefield, you put a shield counter on a non-commander creature you don't control. You gain control of that creature for as long as it has a shield counter on it.
Oh, okay. So you grab a creature and steal it.
Yeah, it's kind of along those same lines as Willbreaker. It's doing that kind of like counter, taking some stuff. But the problem is it's borrow, not steal. Like, you're getting it until this is gone.
It's kind of funny, too, that when you cast this, if you have Prosout, you actually goad the creature because it's still under their control, and then you gain control of it, so you get a goaded creature.
Yeah, right? Like, it's just not working well with Kroos, and it's just not working as much as you want it to for 5 mana. That's why I decided to cut it, yeah.
Next up, we have Declaration in Stone. This is Sorin getting stuck in his manor. One in a white for a sorcery. Exile target creature and all other creatures. Its controller controls with the same name as that creature. So it's basically 2-mana exile sorcery, but then they also get a token, a clue token for each non-token creature exiled this way. So if there's a bunch of... This really won't happen in Commander, but if there's, like, I don't know, 3 Biovisionaries... I don't know, on the battlefield, and you're trying to deck and stone it. I don't know. Mirrorweave, I don't know.
He brings up a good point. Those are good times, but I think
those are definitely good times. They won't happen very often.
It's also really good at taking out tokens, I guess, but...
Right. No, that's right. You can do a token army. That's right.
Yeah, but it's just not really, like... It's not a good board wipe for, like, for this deck. Yeah, it's just, like...
You could just play again, and you have the space and the budget for it, Path to Exile, Swords of Plowshares.
Yeah, for sure.
It's way better than that, yeah.
All right.
Last up, Hoofprints of the Stag, 1 in a white for a tribal enchantment elemental. Whenever you draw a card, you may put a Hoofprint counter on this card, and then you can pay 2 in a white to remove 4 Hoofprint counters on it to make a 4/4 elemental creature token with flying.
Sorcery speed.
Activate only during your turn. Oh, God.
It's just bad.
Put it away. Put it away. Yeah, it's bad. It's slow. It's bad. Yeah. You're not trying to make these little 4/4s. That's not what you want.
No, not sorcery speed.
It's going to take a long time to get 4 counters on it, yeah. And then the last card you want to cut is just the Plains.
Yeah, I know it's so boring, but look, there's 38 lands in the deck.
Oh, wow, and 12 sources of ramp and 38 lands. That's a little on the high side. 37 is what I'd...
Right?
Or maybe even 36.
Whoa. But yeah, I think you're fine kind of Plains. I think that's a totally fine cut, and all the other cards are good enough to make the better than a plane.
Yep.
In that case.
Let's do a quick recap here on how the deck plays. So we've cut 2 card draw spells, 2.5-ish sort of whites, wipes, board wipes with deck and stone. And then 1 just straight up removal spell. Mm-hmm. And you've added in 1 board wipe, 2 card draw spells, 1 ramp spell with Jiang Yanggu, and no removal. So I don't think you're really doing much to hurt the deck overall. I think you actually have kept the sort of the thing going. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so too. I left that in a note for, I guess, whoever else was on this with me. And Jimmy just said, he gave me the go-ahead. He says, good. So
yeah, I did.
I was a little worried with those cuts, but it seems like we're kind of replacing stuff and adding stuff back in. So
yeah. If you were getting rid of like a bunch of cards that were very, very good, then that's a little bit of a difference. Mm-hmm. We do have to give a special shout out, though. There is a card called Resourceful Defense in this deck. It's a new card. It may be one of the best cards in the deck. You may be surprised that we didn't see it. It's a little slow, but it's 2 in a white for an enchantment. Whenever a permanent you control leaves the battlefield, if it had counters on it, put those counters on target permanent you control. And then 4 in a white, move any number of counters from target permanent you control to another target permanent you control. Mm-hmm. You can actually stack those counters on this enchantment. You can stack it onto another creature, onto a land, onto the Ozolith, and then for 4 in a white, you're going to move counters up, which is kind of cool, only on stuff you control, but we've never really seen text like this, so it's going to be, I think, really good in a deck like this, especially with like Denry Kin, Klin. That's going to have like a bunch of counters on it that people want to kill.
Yeah. So, I'd say the deck plays, you're kind of balanced on a knife's edge of doling out counters to your opponents with hoping it doesn't backfire back on you.
Right.
I walked you guys through. I think it should be interesting. It kind of reminds me of this movie called Uncut Gems.
With Adam Sandler,
Great performance by him. He progressively makes worse and worse decisions and just builds himself this little mountain he's on of just being very, very precarious. Like, every time he does something, you're like, no, don't do that. I think your opponents will be like, no, don't. You're
Stop
making
it. What are you doing?
Please.
That thing is going to kill all of us. It's like, so what?
Yeah, and it just gets worse and worse for him. And I think it's going to get worse and worse for you when you're playing this deck. But hopefully you can come out better than Adam Sandler did in the movie.
Exactly. Show them why you are the greatest defense contractor in the land.
Please.
Definitely be careful when you're playing this deck. But it could be a lot of fun. You wrote building systems of safeguards, weaving webs of deals, and chipping away at your opponents after tapping down their creatures.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Could be a good time. Yeah.
Well, and I can't wait to hear it backfire and what's going to happen when it backfires, because I've definitely played decks like this and I've definitely had them backfire right in my face. All right. To the listeners, what do you think about the Bedecked Broker decision? Are there any cards that we missed? Would you have played Parry and gone in a different direction? What do you think that you agree with in our adds and removals? And what would you actually put in there instead? Now that you have an extra $15 to work with this budget, what would you spend it on? Let us know in the comments. You can tweet at us. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, all those good places. Start the discussion with our wonderful community on our Patreon too, on our Discord. Everyone has amazing sort of contributions, and it's great to talk about Magic with friends. It's one of the greatest things in the world. I love it. We did it today, right? We talked about Magic with friends together.
Yeah.
Thumbs up. Make sure you check out channelfireball.com/command. That's where you're going to get your cards. That's where you can get everything that you need to be the pulverizer or to be the defense contractor or to be the best person that you can be at the table. Figure it out. channelfireball.com/command or enter promo code command at checkout. You can also go to Ultra Pro. They have an online store now. You can buy the playmats that are most up to date with the sets that are coming out. Baldur's Gate coming out soon. A lot of really amazing art, especially for our D&D fans. So much crossover. So make sure you check out Ultra Pro. You're also supporting the show when you do so. Okay, I'm excited. Let's move on to the end set. We talk about something cool outside of the world of magic. Yeah. Arthur, you wrote down that you wanted to talk about art.
Yes.
So take it away. What do you have to say about art?
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of art. I used to go to a lot of art museums before this job. I still try to go.
Paintings, statues, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I
think there's a little bit of like a existing notion that like art can be pretty pretentious and like inaccessible and kind of like a highfalutin thing.
Snooty.
Yeah. It is a bit, but I think it doesn't have to be. So I really like to just go to museums and have a good laugh. I know these people spend their lives making paintings that try to put like really complex emotions and feelings and like problems in the world onto canvas. And I respect that. But at the same time, similar to like a good album, sometimes there's really good songs and sometimes they miss.
Yeah,
Yeah, and so I think like what I recommend and what I think could be fun is to make more art more accessible to you. And that's just to like go and not go with expecting it to be like a really inaccessible, like hard to understand. Like
only for tourists.
Yeah.
Who cares about this sort of stuff? They're all dead anyway, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, don't do that.
I recommend you go to a museum. Most museums have a free day and you just go for the didactics. So didactics are these little things next to art pieces, and there's usually like a paragraph telling you about the art piece, and they can be very, very funny to read. I've come across like, so yeah, my recommendation is to go and just enjoy reading those and then maybe look at the art afterwards. Yeah, I love just go with my headphones in, like just zone out, like, and just read them. And some of my favorites, like there's this one guy named Joseph Albers that's spent his whole lifetime figuring out how to put squares inside of other squares.
Wow.
That's just,
that's the art.
What he does. Yeah. It's really amusing.
Hopefully we'll have a good picture up about that or something on the video.
There's a guy named Alexander Calder. He made mobiles, you know, like those baby mobiles where it's like the stars and stuff and they're hanging down. He made them out of wire. And in the 1920s, people got into fist fights apparently about these mobiles because he used wire and
it
that was like
a dangerous thing. Yeah.
Not cool.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah. So you can like hear all sorts of funny, like little like backstories about art pieces and learn all sorts of stuff. Let's see. There's this guy named Clifford Still who insists. Okay, this guy is a little pretentious, but I think it's hilarious. He insists when you look at his art, you have to imagine certain compositions of music while you're looking at it.
Oh, so yeah, very interesting. It's like when you gaze upon this, you must hear Beethoven's Seventh Symphony.
Yeah, so art can be funny, art can be accessible. I think there's like, it can be a really fun thing to just do by yourself. You don't have to go with other people.
Yeah, I've gone to museums by myself. It's great. And it's like cold and air conditioned and it's quiet and calm. It's really nice, actually.
For sure.
Very cool. Yeah, so yeah, I like that. Make art more accessible to you. Don't be afraid to laugh at something if you find it funny. Don't be afraid to, you know, embrace it if it seems like it's cool. Don't add an expectation layer in front of art because they've already done a lot of work on that canvas. They spent hours and hours and hours. You may as well see what they got going on, right?
Yeah. One more I just remembered. There's a painting from 2009 called Overdrive, and Obama is riding a corgi and shooting lasers out of his hands.
Nice. That is also considered art.
Oh, yeah. So
just so you know,
there's something for everyone out there. Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Arthur, for being on the show. It was a great time. I really liked what you did with the deck here. I'm sure our audience will too. And a big thanks to everyone here at the Command Zone as well. Arthur Meadowcroft, first on the list. You got an A in your name. You're right at the front. Sean Aguilas, Damon Lenz, Lady Danger, Manson Lund, Craig Blanchett, Ashlyn Rose, Josh Murphy, Jake Boss, Patrick Nan, Jordan Pridgen, Sam Waller, Grav Galati, Truck Tie, Jamie Block, Evan Limburger, Mitch Trafford, and Josh Lee Kwai. How's it? Special thanks to Jeffrey Palmer for doing the living card animations that live behind us here on the set. And you can find them on Twitter at livingcardsmtg. All right, everyone, go out there, play to your heart's content, and make some deals. We'll see you next time. Peace.
for your attention. For further inquiries, send an email to commandcast@rocketjump.com or ask us on Twitter at JF Wong and at Josh Lee Kwai. See you later, alligator.
Greetings, humans.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.